Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, part of the thing that happens around the holidays like Good Friday and Easter and Advent and Christmas is that we put ourselves in the place of those expectant Israelites who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, while at the same time we know full well that he has already come and that he has received us into the kingdom of grace in holy baptism. He has showered his mercy upon us, forgiving us all of our sins and establishing us in his plan of salvation, which extends into eternity and glory. But it's fitting for us to try in this season to put ourselves in the position of those who were receiving the testimony and the promises fulfilled. John the Baptist, he started preaching out in the desert in Bethabara across the Jordan River by a ford. And he began to preach, and people began to flock out of the city of Jerusalem and from the surrounding areas to hear this man preach. And his message was essentially summed up: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was announcing the coming of the Messiah, the Christ of Israel, who would establish the kingdom of God. And he was calling people to get ready for this coming by repenting of their sins and believing in the promises of God given in Holy Scripture. Well, with all these people flocking out there into the desert to hear this guy dressed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey, John was a character. And people flocked to hear him preach. And he preached and called people to repentance and to believe in the coming of the one whom God had promised to be the Redeemer, the Savior, the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, it wasn't long before the powers that be in Jerusalem began to say, "What on earth is going on out there in the desert? We are going to send a delegation out into the desert to check this guy out and to see if everything is kosher." Now, these people were upset because John was conducting his religious mission apart from the city of Jerusalem, apart from the sanctioned priesthood. And so they wanted to know just why he was doing what he was doing. And especially, John seems to have invented a new kind of baptism. And they didn't like people breaking with regulation. And so they wanted to find out, why is it that this guy has come up with a new kind of baptism? So they sent a bunch of priests and Levites from Jerusalem to interrogate John. Now listen, these guys who come to John, they are not interested in repentance. They are not interested in faith in the Messiah. They are representatives of the status quo. They are people who want to keep everything going the way it already has, and they don't want anybody rocking the boat. So they come to John and they ask him, "Who are you?" All right. Now remember, the Jews were a people who were always waiting for the coming of the Messiah. They were always waiting for Elijah the prophet to appear and announce the coming of the Messiah. And there were many people who had come and gone, who had claimed to be the Messiah, and had risen for a while, attracted a certain amount of followers, and then faded away as fast as they had arisen. So when they say, "Who art thou?" they're really saying, all right, you, who are you claiming to be now? Who are you claiming to be? And notice how St. John frames the answer of the Baptist. "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ." Notice how St. John the Evangelist makes a big deal out of the fact John the Baptist wasn't denying that he was the Messiah. He was confessing that he was not the Messiah. John's confession of the faith, first of all, is this: it's not about me. All right? And this is the confession of the church. Whenever the church speaks as though it is the answer to people's needs and longings, the church is being unfaithful to the Word of God. Whenever it becomes the church this and the church that and the church and the church and the church, what happens is the church basically substitutes itself for Jesus, and that becomes unfaithful testimony. But here, John is specifically confessing, "I'm not your man. I'm not the one. I'm not the Christ." He doesn't deny that he's the Christ, but he confesses that he's not the Christ. So they proceed with their interrogation. And they ask him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And John says, "I am not." All right? Now, this presents a problem for some people, because Jesus, in last week's gospel lesson, said that John is Elijah, which was to come. But when the Jews from Jerusalem ask him, art thou Elias? He says, "I am not." Is this a contradiction? No, listen. In the days of John the Baptist and Jesus, the Jews had many apocryphal ideas about the coming of the Messiah. And they had all kinds of crazy notions about Elijah the prophet coming back from the dead and literally coming back to earth and announcing the birth of the Messiah. John is not denying that what Jesus said about him is true. John is saying, he's saying basically, all those kooky notions that you people have dreamed up, that's not me either. Alright? He's not denying that he's the fulfillment of Malachi's promise to send Elijah the prophet. He's denying the mythological nonsense that had grown up among the Israelites. He didn't want to be associated with that stuff. So they press on, and they say, They say, so art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. The prophet, in Deuteronomy 18, God said to Moses, I will raise up a prophet like unto thee, and to him shall the people give heed. All right? Now, God was talking about the Messiah, the Son of God, who would be the final word of the Lord to the world. The coming of the Messiah is the coming of that prophet. But the Jews had cooked up all kinds of strange ideas about this so-called coming prophet. Some believed that he was the resurrection of Isaiah the prophet. Some believed that he was the resurrection of Jeremiah the prophet. They had all kinds of ideas floating around with all kinds of doctrinal quirkiness. And what John is saying is, I'm not that. No, 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 no. All right? John is making a confession. I'm not here to talk about myself. So they're in exasperation now. And they say, well then, listen, we've got a job to do. They sent us out from Jerusalem to find out who you are, and so far, we've come up with nothing. So, what do you have to say for yourself? Who are you? What do you have to say for yourself? And so they're exasperated. He says in response, now that they finally haven't tried to pin some prophetic personage, some mythological personage onto him, now that they're just asking him, what do you say of yourself? Now he can come out and say it. And he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As said Isaiah the prophet, chapter 40, verse 3. All right. So he says, I am the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 40 about the messenger who prepares the way for the Messiah. I am the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi who will prepare the way of the Lord, the messenger that goes before the face of the Lord after whom the Lord comes. All right. So now John has said, I'm the guy who comes in advance of the Messiah. I'm the messenger that was prophesied. And that means that when I come and I do my work, the next thing is more important than me. All right, so he leaves it sitting there. And it says these guys were from the Pharisees. So they asked him, all right, if you're not Christ, if you're not the prophet, if you're not Elijah the prophet, why are you baptizing? Right? Why are you doing an unsanctioned and uncommissioned ritual? Right? You're getting in our business here. You're doing liturgy, which is our job. What authority gives you the right to do this? Why are you baptizing? And John says, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Alright? Now let's speak here. Remember that here, John is making his confession of faith before the enemies of true religion and before the enemies of the coming of Christ. These people from Jerusalem will be precisely the ones who condemn Jesus to death and see to it that he is crucified. These are not people who are sincerely seeking divine knowledge that they may be saved. These are people who are trying to keep the status quo going for the sake of themselves. And so, John says to them, number one, there is standing someone among you. He's already here. You probably bumped into him on your way here. He's already been manifest. But you do not know him. All right? You haven't been seeking him. You haven't been seeking the scriptures which promise him. You haven't sought the baptism which prepares the way before him. And therefore, even though he has already been manifested among you, you don't even recognize him. And so it is. People who come to church and remain utterly untouched. Have you ever thought about how that is? It seems to be a deep mystery. How some people can come to church and their hearts can be touched and their hearts can be encouraged and faith can be kindled in their hearts, and other people can come and participate in the same things and be as utterly dead in sin at the end as they were at the beginning. And why is that? Because they have no hunger and thirst for God, have no hunger and thirst for the Word of God, do not recognize and confess the Word when they hear it, and so they, even though it is manifested and the Holy Spirit is present, they push it away. And so he says, so there standeth one among you whom ye know not. You don't know him, you don't recognize him, you don't acknowledge him. But let me tell you something about him. He is the one who comes after me, but is preferred before me. He's the guy that I am telling you to make ready the way of salvation for. When it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, the one who is already in your midst, who has been manifested but you don't recognize, he is the Messiah. He's here. He's being manifested, and my job is to point you to him. He comes after me, but he is preferred before me. And then the last thing that John says here is, he says, I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes. All right. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the Jewish tradition, a disciple of a master, like if you were a rabbi and you had a disciple, your disciple, in addition to studying under you, was to basically serve as your servant. All right. In the Jewish relationship between a rabbi and a disciple, the disciple was virtually a slave of the master, the rabbi. All right? And so in the Talmud it says that a disciple is to perform all the functions of a slave with the exception of untying the master's shoes. All right? So that's what it says in the Talmud. That's the tradition of the elders, that a disciple must act like a servant in every way, except the only thing that makes him different from a slave is that he doesn't have to do the menial job of taking his master's shoes off. All right? That's reserved for the abject slave. And what John is saying here is, I am an abject slave to the master who is the one who has been revealed, and he has come, and my job is to point the way to him. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I'm not even worthy to be his slave. That's what John is saying. All right? So John, very strongly, he points himself away from the center role, the spotlight. And he places the spotlight directly upon Jesus. And he focuses the attention of every hearer away from himself and upon the one who has come. He has been baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and when he came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove, and when John's disciples saw him, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And his disciples began to follow Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.